what we learned investigating the death of Chicano student activist Oscar Gomez.
It sounds like you ran almost every theory to its end.
Binge all 8 episodes of Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.
Birds covered in oil, fish washing up dead, beaches closed indefinitely. It's been more than a week since yet another oil spill polluted our coastline, and we want to know who's responsible. This is the weekend edition of the LA Report. I'm science reporter Jacob Margolis. Today we're going to talk about the latest updates on the spill and the biggest questions that still need answering. But first, how we got here. To understand that, we've got to rewind to Friday, October 1st in Orange County. That's when reports started to come in of a terrible gas and oil smell. Nicole Nelson lives about a mile from the beach.
It smelled a lot like if they were retarring the roads. And when I talked to friends too, they also said, you know, oh yeah, I looked around to see where they were working on the roads, but I couldn't find it.
It was about 8 p.m. and she was walking to her car to go pick up her kid from a high school football game.
When I smelled that smell, it just set off all kinds of alarm bells that this has to be unhealthy and where in the world is it coming from? It felt inescapable and also just very disconcerting.
By the end of the night, the Coast Guard had received multiple reports of oil on the water. The first from a concerned citizen, the second from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which said its satellites were picking up what looked like a patch of oil off the coast of Orange County. It wasn't until the next morning, around 6 a.m., that the Coast Guard and others went out searching for the oil. And after 2 hours, they found it. We later learned that it came from one of 3 oil rigs some 9 miles off the coast, owned by Amplify Energy, specifically the oil rig named Ellie. My colleague Sharon McNary has the backstory.
The story of Ellie. So back in 1980, Royal Dutch Shell built 2 oil platforms about 250 feet above the floor of the ocean and named them Ellie and Ellen. They're a little over 4 miles offshore and they operate under federal rules. In 1984, they built another one called Eureka. So Ellen and Eureka have dozens of wells that pull oil up from under the ocean and they send the oil to Ellie for processing. Ellie separates the water from the natural gas and the crude oil, and then the oil is sent on a pipeline on the ocean floor 17 miles away to a terminal in Long Beach, where it gets refined into fuel for airplanes and cars.
As the investigation continued, officials reported that 4,000 feet of a 16-inch steel pipeline had been dragged, like the string on a bow, some 105 feet from where it should be. Divers found a 13-inch crack that the oil had apparently been leaking from. According to the company's CEO, Martin Wilshire, it wasn't until Saturday morning that they were alerted and shut things down.
We were not aware of any spill until 8:09 a.m. on Saturday morning. I promised you, if we were aware of something on Friday night, we would have immediately stopped all operations and moved forward.
Of course, this is far from the first time we've seen a spill off our coast. The most famous disaster was in 1969, when an estimated 4 million gallons of oil flooded the Santa Barbara coastline.
It's a bad situation. It's a complete mess throughout the marinas and has affected every boat in the harbor.
It became a catalyst for the modern environmental movement. In response, the state banned any new offshore oil leases in state waters, and no new leases have been granted in federal waters since the 1980s, so platforms like Ellie are aging. Still, oil drilling is big business in California. There are nearly 30 oil and gas platforms off our coast, and the state is the 7th largest producer of oil in the country. This spill brought back memories of what happened in 1969, as sticky, stinky crude oil cruised its way from 5 miles out all the way to the coast. Federal and state agencies scrambled to contain the oil, sending out ships with large containment booms to try and corral it. Local groups scoured the beaches to survey the damage and begin cleanup almost immediately, as my colleague Jill Replegal reported.
A cleanup crew hauled plastic bags full of oil and grass onto shore from their small boat in Talbert Marsh, which is just north of where the Santa Ana River meets the ocean. One worker said it looked much better than it had in the morning.
There was a big main black spot over there, so we try. We are going to keep going.
I didn't catch the worker's name before her supervisor shooed me away. Yellow containment booms stretched across the marsh to keep the oil from spreading further into the ecological reserve. Michelle Reyes and Susan Cavazia stood nearby. Their eyes were glued to binoculars pointed at a sandbar covered with shorebirds. Cavazia is a volunteer with International Bird Rescue.
We're looking for any oiled birds or any birds that are maybe in distress that keep on preening, that act like they're wet.
19 birds were collected for cleaning. 5 had died. Animals covered in oil are likely to keep showing up and will need to be treated as soon as possible. Mammals like harbor seals, who will swim through the oil, inadvertently consume and breathe in toxic fumes, could see longer-term damage. The oil essentially took a straight shot at the wetlands in Huntington Beach, which have been carefully restored and maintained since the 1980s. 90% of California's wetlands have been destroyed in the past century, and places like Talbert Marsh in the Huntington Beach wetlands provide home to native species. They also capture carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, help mitigate coastal erosion and flooding.
I think we've learned from the Deepwater Horizon in the Gulf of Mexico and even from the Exxon Valdez spill that the impacts of oil spills on wetlands have long-term implications depending on how much oil makes it into the soil and how long it stays there.
Christine Whitcraft is a wetland ecologist at Cal State Long Beach. Everything from bacteria in the soil to the plants that grow there to the fish that spawn there could have their life cycles disrupted. The damage is still being surveyed.
10 years as a good restoration time frame for wetlands is completely reasonable.
The oil's still flowing south and now starting to show up in San Diego. The good news is that the oil flow out of the pipeline has stopped, and there are an estimated 1,000 or so people cleaning up the environment. That said, it could take weeks or months before things start to appear somewhat normal again, and beaches start to open back up. And there are big questions that remain. Should Amplify Energy have identified the leak earlier? Did something go wrong on the platform where they missed signs of the leak? Or maybe they know something they're not sharing? This company does not have an unblemished track record. Here's my colleague Sharon McNary again.
Since 2010, federal officials issued 53 warnings that the operating company was out of compliance with its operating standards. 71 times over the past decade or so, the company was ordered to stop operating components of its platforms or wells. Back in 2010, the entire operation was ordered to shut down for noncompliance.
There are some other outstanding questions as well. What was responsible for breaking the pipeline? Was it a ship and an anchor? We don't know. Did everyone move as fast as they could have to prevent ecological disaster? And really, the big question is, when are we going to stop drilling for oil? Governor Gavin Newsom has called to explore phasing out oil extraction by 2045, but that's a long way off. We've got a ton of aging oil rigs off the coast. It's likely only a matter of time before this happens again.
There should be federal action to stop and decommission all these platforms off of California. They're all just a ticking time bomb.
Miyoko Sakashita is with the Center for Biological Diversity. There are both state and federal investigations going on into Amplify Energy and what caused the leak. There's also a federal class action lawsuit that's been filed. Expect that those responsible will pay for everything, from the immediate spill response and recovery costs to, if you, say, missed the final day of the air show last weekend, you could have your ticket paid for. There's a claims number that you can call that we have up on LAS.com. We'll make sure to keep you updated as things progress. Thanks for listening to this weekend edition of the LA Report. Suzanne Whatley and Nick Roman are back on Monday with the AM and PM weekday editions. Until then, be safe and have a great weekend. I'm Jacob Margolis.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclavia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.